Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Let's play two.
Back! Back! Back!
Way back! It might be! It could be! It is! Holy cow!
The fly! He scores! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Ball! Game! Over! Cubs win! Cubs win!
Welcome into the Cubs Talk Podcast presented by Wintrust Community Bank. I'm Luke Stuckmeyer. Former Cub Doug Glanville is here. Cubs pre and post host David Kaplan is here. And we're breaking down the Cubs trade with the Royals this week. Mike Montgomery to the Royals, back where he started. The Cubs get Martin Maldonado, a catcher coming to the Cubs. Now, obviously, the way we understand it is a huge part of this deal is that Wilson Contreras has the arch strain in his foot. He's headed to the injured list. How bad do you think the injury is, first of all? Because to me, that's the most important part of the deal. How bad is this for Wilson Contreras?
I think it's not that big a deal. According to Kelly Kroll, who was in the dugout, you were down there, he was bouncing around going, yeah, they tell me it's a strain, but I'm fine, I can play. And this is the Cubs being smart, and I'm going to trust Theo. When he looks at the media and goes, we don't expect it to be more than 10 days, I'll trust him.
Yeah, I think about the caution. You know, last season, Contreras had a tough second half. And, looking fantastic this year, all-star appearance again. And the opportunity to just give him some time and to say, all right, we're not going to push it. You know, we just get so extra depth here. And someone who's a good receiver, he can throw runners out, a defensive asset, has experience. And I think that will give him some time. And I think Maldonado has an opportunity to be a mentor in some level, too, because he's been around the block. So I see it as just like an extra cautious move. And, you know, buy some time and allow Contreras to really get back, because it's the type of injury, it seems like, as he described, that if you keep pushing it, you could continue it having it flare up, and they want to take it easy right now.
Yeah, Theo wouldn't go as far to describe it as plantar fasciitis, which is what basketball players get it a lot. But for a catcher, if it's an arch strain, which I don't know the difference between the two, I'm not a doctor, but they are on their toes a lot. They are bouncing up a lot. The arch and the heel would be a major factor for what you're doing. If he were to re-injure it over and over, losing Contreras would be a big deal. So maybe it's not as cautious as we're saying. Like, that is really important. They do have to back themselves up. You can't just go with Caratini for the rest of the season if that's all you have.
Well, plus, don't forget, there's no waiver deadline.
Right.
Where you go, oh, I could pick that guy up now. He's not very good. I'll claim his contract. He's okay. It's you better get guys in your organization or you're in trouble.
Yeah, and also, if this was September 15th, it'd be like, play ball. You know, I'm sure they would just go through it. But now you're looking, the second half just started. You don't want to run that risk. I mean, they are still in first place, and they want to make sure that they have a guy who's been really one of their best players consistently since day one this season.
Is it too much to give up Mike Montgomery? I mean, most teams aren't dealing away left-handed relievers that could also be starters. Most teams want that pitching depth that we're talking about, but they were willing to give up depth at one position to get it at the other. Do you think it was too much, or was it just necessary?
I think it was necessary, one. Two, Mike did not want to be here. As Jesse Rogers reported, he's been asking for a trade for almost 3 months, and they finally said, okay, we got to beat out two teams to get Martin Maldonado. We'll put Montgomery in the deal. He didn't want to be there, and it had gotten rather, I won't say a strained relationship. He just needed to go.
Yeah, and that's the normal trajectory of a player that gets to the stage like, hey, I want to start. I want to establish a career here. It's nice to take one for the team and be the role player, grab the ball at any given time for opportunity. But at a certain point, you're looking for rhythm, you're looking for consistency, and you want to find out, hey, if I get the ball 30 times a year and I have a chance to really do something as a starter.
And get paid.
And get paid, yeah, you know, that's part of it. So, yes, 2016, you know, throws the final pitch, that's great, clap, clap, clap. But as your career dwindles, you start to realize how small that window is.
Well, and he also saw the opportunities not going to him. You know, Mills was getting the start here on Tuesday. You had Alzolay getting starts before the All-Star break. You had Chatwood getting starts before the All-Star break, and Montgomery kind of sitting there. He hadn't pitched in a while. Been a while since you've seen him, and then it's tough to come in that relief role and do what you do and showcase yourself for another team if that's what it's going to be. The only thing I found a little strange, and maybe it's because we're trained to sort of read between the lines a little bit. Maybe it was nothing, was just Theo pausing and saying, oh, we've been talking to them for a while before the MRI came out. The question is, what were they talking to the Royals about before the MRI and Contreras? Was it, again, Maldonado, or was it Whit Merrifield or somebody else on the Royals roster?
But they found out they can't get Whit Merrifield. I do think they were talking about Maldonado because they liked him over the winter. And then he signed in Kansas City because they just didn't have the financial flexibility to put $2.5 million into another catcher. But you got to have what you need going forward, because if it's not in your organization, you're done. And I don't think they want Taylor Davis catching in a playoff game.
And I think David makes a good point about the rules that have changed around the trade deadline. I mean, this is a different climate. You have to start thinking ahead early on, and you have to be very aggressive for this deadline so you don't have extra opportunities after July 31st. So now we're looking at make that move and scout it out a little bit sooner. Look, Maldonado is a great asset. I mean, last year he almost threw out 50% of the runners that stole on him. I mean, this guy is a cannon. He's a good receiver. You know, that's someone that you may want in certain circumstances in the postseason if that's the opportunity. So I still think there's a plus on it outside of just the Contreras factor. He can be an asset to this team.
And he could mentor
absolutely
Contreras at a point if it comes to that. So where do we go? Let's say everything's great with Wilson Contreras in 10 days. Where do the Cubs go from there? What you know, I guess you could use an option on Caratini back to Iowa and keep Maldonado. I mean, how are they going to balance that? Because three catchers is a lot to keep until September 1st.
They had three in 2016.
I'm not saying it's not doable. They could.
Wilson, you want to get him off his feet behind the plate? He started 26 games in left field in 2016. What if Schwarber's part of a deal to go get something? Now left field's open. Who's playing out there? David Bodie hasn't played where you go, I got to have that guy at third. He's been terrible as of late.
Well, it's also that right now, you know, the language around even Contreras playing right fielder is the idea that Caratini could get at bats because he swung the bat well. So he's looking like an offensive force a little bit here, and they're considering that as more of the bat side. I mean, Caratini could play first and do other things. So he's a good piece for somebody if it's not the Cubs, because he has the versatility, the switch hitting, play around, and really shown some power game here.
It would be interesting to have those three guys because they are – other than Maldonado, the other two are flexible, and you can move them around. My only thing about Contreras in right or left field is he hasn't looked super comfortable, and Wrigley Field's not an easy place to play the outfield, Doug. You know that. And how tough is it when you're switching from a position like catcher? Maybe it's one thing. I don't think it's easy for Chris Bryant either, but to go from third to the outfield. But catching to the outfield at Wrigley seems tough.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could consider it more when you have a Maldonado-type arm behind the plate. Then you're not losing the cannon that Contreras brings. I mean, Contreras is going to make a lot of errors because he's so aggressive throwing-wise. He's a good athlete, and I think since the Madden era started, you see the advantages of versatility. Guys play all over the place. I mean, rotating here, left, third, first, whatever, Bodie. So they've done that, and you ask the question, does it become a diminishing return at some point? Okay, well, everybody's playing everywhere. Where's the continuity? Contreras in that game, I think it was against the Pirates, where he ran all the way, got there and just didn't catch it. That's going to be risky if in these late inning situations you don't want him out there. I don't think he's ready for that type of level. That's where you want Jason Hayward, who wasn't available at the time.
Cap, you think they'll be active these final 2 weeks?
I do. I think they're going to make a significant addition to their lineup / bench, somebody that Eric Sogard or whoever it is that they could feel like we could play him some at the top of the order. We could play him in multiple spots. He gets on base at a high clip. And then Terrence Gore was just designated for assignment by Kansas City when they promoted Bubba Starling to the 40-man. Terrence Gore was here last year and stole base in the NL, I think the wild card game, or maybe it was two seasons. I think it was last year.
But they also needed him to get a hit, and then you were like, well, this guy's not really a hitter.
Actually, he was hitting 275.
But you know what I mean? It
came
to the point you were like, I wish anybody else was at the plate right now.
But you got to have that speed guy if you need him.
They have no speed.
None.
Well, they don't use it for sure. So right. And living and dying on the home run gets really dicey.
But in a playoff series, don't you want to have a guy like that?
Yeah, absolutely. You need that guy that can run, you know, pinch run. I mean, it becomes a different ballgame in the postseason. So, I mean, I like a guy even, you know, outfield. Think of like an Adam Jones. He's out there somewhere. I don't know the Diamondbacks or when they, you know, if they drop off in the next couple of weeks. You know, that could be an interesting bat.
Yeah, they're already talking about selling off Robbie Ray.
Yeah, Robbie Ray. They need some, I think they need a left-handed pitch like Montgomery, but more of a specialist that can shut people down on the left side, maybe another reliever. So there's pieces. And once again, with this trade deadline being hard and fast, you have to make your moves now. And I think the Cubs will be aggressive.
When you look at this Cubs roster, and we've described over and over that they need a guy that can play a little second base, a little bit outfield, both sides of the plate. I mean, that is Ben Zobrist. That's still the big X factor on this team, isn't it? More than anybody, like, if he comes back, what do you get from Ben Zobrist? It sounds like they believe he's coming back.
At some point. Jesse Rogers said the other day he thinks it's September 1.
Right.
But his OPS, the day he left the Cubs, I think was 596. That's horrible.
Well,
what do you get? He hadn't played for 3 months, and we're expecting him to play in high leverage?
Clearly he was distracted, though. I mean, there's stuff going on off the field that may be carrying over to the field. That's why he's been away and taking this leave of absence for such a long time. Maybe some of that's cleared up. I don't know. Maybe some of it's cleared up and he's more focused when he comes back. I would agree that you don't know what you're getting. It is a complete roll of the dice.
Yeah, and I believe they'll focus on as if he's not here. And plus, you know, you get him September 1st. Is he eligible for the postseason?
Yes.
So that's one of the questions I was wondering about. So
anyone in your organization, minors or majors, or on your injured list, is eligible for the postseason.
Right, so the time that he spent up until September 1, that's the key. So, but the rust factor, there's a lot of questions. They have to build as if he's not there or he won't be the same player. Certainly on paper, in the best scenario of a Ben Zobrist, that's great. Switch hitter, you know, second baseman, wonderful. But you can't predict that you're going to have that guy.
How do you guys feel about, with you know, a couple weeks before the trade deadline, assets in the minor leagues? We talked to Jason McLeod. How valuable are the guys that you have right now? And you have to value the future moving forward, because we've seen young guys go to other teams. The trades have worked out. I mean, Chapman, you got him. It led to a World Series championship. You don't have Gleyber Torres on your team anymore. How do you value that moving forward, because you don't have the depth that you used to have?
I'm not trading any of the top 4, 5, 6 prospects unless it's such an impactful deal that I control that person beyond this year. Like if I said, oh God, I want to get Madison Bumgarner, he's a free agent. I'm not renting Madison Bumgarner, giving you Nico Horner or Miguel Amaya or Braylon Marquez or Cole Roederer. None of those guys are touchable to me unless I'm trading for someone who's going to be here beyond this year.
Well, especially the concern, even though this is not the goal, you're not exactly running away with the NL Central, and you can look up and find yourself in a wild card scenario or something, and you're not going to leverage the house for that. You know, if you're the Dodgers or teams that are kind of in control, that's a different scenario. And
unless so, you're 2 weeks from now, you're 5 games up.
Yeah, you got to be up. Yeah, and so sitting here today, it's tight. And I think this division is going to be tight. Even though, to me, the Cubs are the superior team, the problem is that all these teams have gotten better in some ways, and they're kind of one-dimensional. You know, the Pirates hit, the Reds pitch, you know, those kind of things. But they're tough. They're not going to just steamroll those teams. But they have a great schedule outside of the division. I mean, other than the Oakland A's and the Washington Nationals, everybody they're playing out of their division is under 500. I mean, considerably under 500. So they have and that's way above the Brewers have to play the Astros and the A's. And
right.
So they have a leg up. I think they can make a nice run, but with a couple of pieces.
Do you think, Doug, that the Brewers or Cardinals, more likely the Brewers, could spark the Cubs or push the Cubs to make that more significant move if they go out and get a Bumgarner, a Syndergaard, or whoever it might be that would really, really change their rotation?
Well, you start to worry if the Brewers get a Bumgarner. You know, that starts to be a factor of like, all right, wait a minute, how these teams, you know, what do these teams need to get a little bit better and make this a problem? Like Dallas Keuchel going to Atlanta, who already had some depth. So I'm sure they're paying close attention to the interest levels and who's available. So there's sometimes defense in these trades and making sure that, yes, he can be an asset, but it's also keeping someone away from the Cardinals. That, like a Jose, remember Jose Canseco was in Boston? And the Yankees were like, all right, just sit on the bench. Don't worry about it. And he just rotted there so he wouldn't beat them.
I remember Randy Myers had a shoulder injury and nobody knew it. And he was put on waivers and San Diego said, no, he's not going to pitch for, I think it was the Giants. We're blocking it. And they took him, they claimed him, and the team that had him went, yeah, he's yours. You got him. And it was $15 million back then when $15 million was a ton of money. He was injured. He could barely throw for them. And they did it to block someone, and it ended up blowing up in their face.
So you got to be careful with that. Now, and without all the waivers, it's hard to play that game as well as they would more July, post-July 31st. But, you know, it's a different landscape. The trade situation is different, but they have to be aggressive for sure.
Guys, thanks for stopping by. This has been fun. We're going to do it again soon, correct?
Look forward to it always.
And look for another new episode coming on Wednesday night or Thursday morning after the Cubs and Reds wrap up their series. Cubs get a day off, so make sure you subscribe to the Cubs Talk podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or Art19. That way, you don't miss it or any of our upcoming podcasts. They automatically are right there for you to listen to the minute they come out. Thanks for listening to the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust Community Bank. Take care and fly the W. We'll be right back.